questions later on. So let's get into, we have to get to the right section, but we're going to continue our study in the New Halacha. So if you have your Bibles, open it to Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. Let's take a look at it. Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. So Ephesians 3, beginning in verse 14, now I'm reading in verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, and to know the love of Messiah, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Messiah Yeshua to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. All right, so as we continue in our study of... that's not what I want. This is a new pointer. All right, there it is. New halacha, the word halacha is the Hebrew word for walk. Actually, the root of that is to walk. Halak means to walk. And it's a theme that's repeated over and over again. We've been going through the book of Ephesians, and it's a theme that's repeated over and over again in the book of Ephesians. And what we learn here is the new walk that God would have us to have. Now, under the law, under the older covenant, God gave us certain commandments in how to walk. And so Jews follow Torah and suggest that the Torah is halacha, or law, or righteous walking, how we are to walk. But Jeremiah promised God's people and us, who are God's people, that he would give a new walk, a new halacha. And the essence of that is laid out in this book. And so we've looked at the mystery of the new covenant, and the mystery of part of the new covenant is that God has begun a new assembly or a new work that was not understood at all. We talked about that last week. The prophets didn't have a clue about it. And that work is the church. And when we think of church, we think of buildings with steeples and from my perspective, it's, you know, everything goyish and everything not Jewish. But in reality, what the church is, it's not a building. It is the assembly of God's people. Whereas the temple was the repository, the place of God's Spirit, now God's Spirit has been removed from the temple in Jerusalem and placed into the hearts of believers. And when we gather together, the Spirit operates through all of us to build an assembly and to build a testimony and to build the presence of Messiah in a location. And so that's the mystery of God. That's what Paul has been talking about. And the outworking of that is in the assembly of God's people, which is what we are. And so as we continue now, we come to this next section here. A prayer for our walk. That's essentially what Paul is doing as he concludes chapter 3. This first section of explaining some of the theological roots, the underpinnings of this new halacha. And so he has a prayer for it. Have you ever wondered how to pray? I'm sure we all have wondered if we could be more effectual, better at praying. You know, you hear about, you know, people who are prayer warriors and when you read in Scripture how Jesus prayed just hours on end and called us to pray. And so I'm sure all of us, I know I do, regularly. In fact, part of my devotions, my daily devotions, is reading a book by Andrew Murray on prayer. And it's really wonderful. It really is a great blessing. I encourage you to read, it's E.M. Bounds, Handfuls on Prayer, I think is what it's called. But anyway, have you ever wondered what the elements of prayer that pleases God? And in our passage this morning, we have Paul's prayer for us as believers. What we have really is a model prayer. Many students of the Bible believe this verse contains one of the most important models for prayer in Scripture. Second only to the Lord's Prayer, his model of prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And remember, that prayer was precipitated when the Talmudim, the disciples, came to Yeshua and said, you know, teach us to pray. What are the essential elements of prayer? And most Jews pray using a siddur. When we go to the synagogue, we have a siddur. And it's a whole balagan. I mean, it's just a whole long. Essentially, when I was a kid, I was bar mitzvahed in the Orthodox tradition. Not because my family was Orthodox, it was just the cheapest synagogue. And where I could get my bar mitzvah. But, I mean, they were Orthodox. I mean, they were really serious. And when I was preparing, you know, I had to be a part of that. And Saturday morning on Shabbat, I would get there at 8 in the morning. They would pick us up. No, they wouldn't pick us up. I don't, yeah. No, of course they wouldn't do that. It was an Orthodox synagogue. I can't remember how I got there, but I got there. And I guess my mother drove me or something. But anyway, we'd start services at 8 in the morning, and it would go until 12:30, and it was all in Hebrew, for the most part. And I didn't understand a word. I mean, I could read it, I could follow it in the Hebrew, but, I mean, it was prayer. Essentially, it was prayer. And, but it was like a foreign language. But, and so the disciples came to Yeshua wanting to know, what are the essential elements of prayer? What does God want of us in prayer? And of course, we have that classic prayer. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And that's, you know, essential foundation, that you are our Father and so on. We could spend hours just on this prayer alone. "Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." In other words, forgive us, Lord, and as a result of forgiving us, help us to forgive others. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." All right, so that's a classic prayer. Well, like the prayer of Yeshua, Paul's prayer is a model for the essential elements of prayer in what we've just read in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. In this prayer, Paul makes four requests of God. The first is that God might rule in our hearts. That's really what we want. And that's what Paul wanted for us as believers, as those who would follow in his footsteps, walking with the Lord, that God would rule, be king in our hearts. Secondly, to know and share the love of God, to know his love, and as a result of knowing that love, sharing that love with others. And thirdly, that we might be filled by God, by his Spirit. And fourthly, that all that is done be done for God's glory. And you could see some of the elements of Paul's prayer in the elements of the Lord's Prayer, as he taught his disciples. Now, you know, in terms of Paul, you need to remember that he is a rabbi. And a rabbi who was sanctified, that is, set apart by the Lord. So he had all that background. And as a Jew of Jews, really grounded in Torah, and then filled with the Spirit and sent of all people to the Gentiles. And one of the reasons, of course, I've shared with you this, but it's important. The reason that God sent him to the Gentiles is because we who were Jews and were, you know, the first to come to faith, were the Gentiles needed a good Jewish lawyer to defend them from us as Jewish believers, because quite frankly, we didn't really want the Gentiles unless they were going to be fully Jewish. And so God raised up a lawyer to intercede for the Gentiles, that God was doing something new. All right, so he has all that background, and so he knows and understands the elements of what really real prayer is all about. And Paul is the model of bringing the Gentiles into the Jewish family. And so that's why this book is so important for us. We need, first of all, to allow Yeshua to rule in our lives. That's the first rule. God's rule in our hearts. We need him to rule us. Because when he is Lord of our lives, everything else falls into place. Seek ye first God and His righteousness, everything else will fall into place. And He does this through the Ruach HaKodesh, through the Holy Spirit. That's God, His power, His unseen force, you know, the Schwartz, as Mel Brooks said. You know, the power of God working in us. It's that force that holds things all together, that in Him and through Him and by Him, all things hold together. And really, it's the Spirit of God that enables us to really serve God. We can't do this in and of ourselves. We pretend to do that many times in churches. But apart from the Spirit of God, it's just religion. It's hard. But when God works and rules in your heart, it just flows out of you. It's not work. It's easy. That's, you know, when the Spirit of God is operational, the fulfillment of what Yeshua said, it's come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Walking with the Lord becomes easy because it's not in our own strength. It's in the power of God's Ruach, in the power of God's Spirit. So He does this through the Spirit of God. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. All right. So first and foremost, we need to have God's power in us, and that's His first prayer for us. If we are going to operate, if we're going to walk in this new halacha, in this new law, and again, it's this new law is easy. It's not hard. If it's heavy, if being a Christian is hard, then you're really not following the manual. You're not following the instruction manual. Because it's really not that hard. In some ways it's hard, but what's hard is dying. That's the hard part. The hard part is giving up control. That's the hard part. Because our natural tendency is to be boss of our lives, the boss of everybody else's lives. And we want to be in charge. We want, you know, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so that's the hard part. But if we just let go, that's easy. If we learn to walk in His Spirit. And that's the new halacha. All right, so His work is in our inner being. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives is absolutely essential to a godly life. Why? Because we cannot live a godly life in our own strength, by our own power. We can't do it. None of us are going to be good enough to come up to God's standard, no matter how good you may think you are. And you're probably pretty good. I mean, compared to some of the, you know, people out there, you're much better. But you know what? That's not good enough. You'll never be good enough. None of us are going to be good enough. But with the Spirit of God in us, then it's easy. Because then it's God in us. As we sang in that song this morning about His love, and I just remember, you know, how gracious He is and how kind He is. Well, it's through the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit that God and Messiah continues the work of Israel's King on earth. God, through us, through our yieldedness to the Spirit of God, brings His kingdom to the world. And it's only by His Spirit that He accomplishes that. In essence, what God is trying to do is get us out of the way. And the only way we get out of the way is by His Spirit ruling and reigning in us. And that's why Paul prays this prayer. In order for us to accomplish this new halacha, the Spirit of God must capture us and rule in us. God's plan for the world. The God of Israel has a plan for the world. He really does. The plan today is accomplished through His body, the church. The assembly, the body, or the church is the body of believers. And it has replaced the temple as His presence on earth, which is Jews and Gentiles made one in Him. We don't go to church. We are the church. We are the assembly of God's people. We are the visible presence of Yeshua. And so, that's why this walk is a Jewish walk. Because the King of Israel is Jewish. And as we understand the Jewishness of this new covenant, The God of Israel will be seen here. And it's not just for Jews. It's for everyone. And so God has a plan, but it's incorporated through the assembly of his people as we allow the Spirit of God to work in us and through us and knit us together and to reflect his grace, his love, his goodness, his mercy, all of that. Okay, the God of Israel has a plan for the world. Okay, we did that. Okay. Did I do that last one? That last point there? The church, which was something really new. We discussed that last week. So this church is something, this assembly is something totally new. Unfathomable to the Old Testament prophets. They just didn't get it. And so what's happening now is new. Now, unfortunately, much of Christianity is like Judaism. You know, it's dead. It's religious. It's religion. But God wants to do something totally new. A working of God's Spirit in the midst of his people. And it's fun. If it's operational, if it's working rightly, it's not religion. It's not hard. It's not boring. At least it shouldn't be. It's fun. And so that's what we need to be. And the only way we can be that is by the Spirit of God. Well, God has a synchronism. In order for us to be in sync with what God wants to do through us, we must be filled, empowered, and led by his Spirit. We each have a choice to make. Will we live in our own strength, or will we live by the Spirit? That's a choice we make every morning. Every hour, actually. Are we going to be in control of our lives and try to control other people's lives? Or are we going to let God be in control? If we let go, it's easy. And there's peace. And there's joy. Does that mean that you'll be out of order? No. For God is a God of order. He does things decently in order. In fact, if you are really in tune with the Spirit, you actually will be orderly. But you won't be orderly, trying to put your order on other people. But you will be orderly yourself, and you'll have grace to tolerate people who are out of order. And because you're in order, and you have grace, people will look at you and want to know what it is that helps you to stay in order. And what helps you to stay in order is walking in the Spirit of God. Because God's will is functional in your life. And that's why Paul prays that, first of all, for us as believers. There are two ways to walk. Either walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so you may not do the things that you please. What does that mean? Well, when you're in the Spirit, he will allow you to accomplish those things that really please you. You know, it says in Scripture, the Lord, if you delight yourself in the will of God, he'll give you the desire of your heart. God knows our hearts better than we do. And when we are yielded to the Spirit of God, we will do those things that are pleasing to our very soul because God created that within us. And when we're filled with the Spirit, everything works better. You work better. And everything falls into place. And there's peace in your soul. And if there's peace in your soul, then you can absorb a lot of the negativity of others because they don't have peace in their soul. But if you have peace in your soul, you know that God's on his throne and everything's okay. And you're not rattled by other people. And that's why God wants us to be filled with the Spirit. So that we can bring his peace to others. For that's what Jesus did. He absorbed negativity. As Yeshua just pointed out about his ability to absorb sin. Rather than let it defile him, he actually took it in and cleansed people. And Jesus says of us, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And the only way we can absorb the sin of others, which is really what God wants us to do, is by the Spirit of God. By the power of God. And so that's why this whole new halacha begins when God is in control of our lives. Now here's the blessing. You know, we all need a motive. I mean, that's what Madison Avenue thrives on. Motivating us to get to do stuff, to buy stuff. Well, we all need motivation. And our motivation is the blessing of God. The great incentive to be filled, to be led and empowered by God. There's a great incentive. And the incentive is the fruit of the Spirit, which includes love, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. Just look at Galatians 5. That's the benefit. I mean, what we really want is this. This is what the world is looking for. We think we're going to find it in cars or in money or in houses or in, you know, having the right desktop software. You know, for those of you who think that, you know, you have the right program, my life will be right. No, it's the Spirit of God. That's what gives us what we're really looking for. Joy and peace. Everything that the world is looking for. So, the fruit of the Spirit is that's the blessing. Okay, living and abiding in the Spirit brings true and lasting joy. A joy that the world can't give us and a joy and a peace the world can never take away. How the Spirit fills us. Paul adds in verse 17, so that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's how the Spirit fills us, through faith. Yeshua and the filling of the Spirit comes into our lives through faith. And the way faith is strengthened is through His Word. So if you're not in His Word, your faith is not going to be strengthened, and you're not going to really experience the filling of the Spirit, because we need our minds transformed. And the way God transforms our thinking is through His Word. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Right? So that's the surrendering of our lives. And no longer be conformed to this world, but be renewed by or be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need our brains washed. Now, thank God most of you take baths every day. I appreciate it. I'm sure you do too, that I do. If you don't, you stink after a while. Well, the same is true if we're not in the Word. We stink after a while. We need our brains washed, and we need it washed daily. Otherwise, we're going to have spiritual BO. And people won't want to be around us. Because our thinking is worldly. Instead of putting our minds on that which is lovely and good and pure, we got our minds in the world. And again, we're just ticked off at everybody because, you know, the world stinks. But when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you realize God's in control. And He knows it stinks. But He wants to use you to transform the world. And so you become an absorber of negativity. But it's only by the Spirit of God. And it only comes by renewing your mind daily through the Word of God. That's how faith is strengthened. Okay. All right, the way of the Spirit. The Bible teaches that faith is not just a head knowledge. It's a heart acceptance that is evidenced in a lifestyle commitment. Paul uses a word for dwell, which means to live or abide permanently. Israel's king will dwell in any heart that welcomes him. He will dwell there. But when we sin, we grieve God's Spirit. And God says, through the reading of His Word, He'll convict you of sin, and as you confess that sin, agree with God that it is sin, He'll confess you and cleanse you again. That's why the Word is an essential part of it, and acknowledging sin in your life, and then asking to be filled with Yeshua again. And the filling of God's Spirit is, again, surrendering control of your life to the Lord, letting Him be the boss, and not worrying about other people, you know, trying to be boss of them. Praying that God would be their boss. Because if the Lord is the Lord of their lives, well, then they'll be shock absorbers of your negativity when you're out of sorts. Because, you know, we're all out of sorts at times. And that's why we get together, is so that we can encourage one another and absorb each other's negativity. And encourage each other so that the king is living and seen in the midst of the assembly. And as we grow in our love for one another and encouraging one another and grow in our knowledge of God's Word and have our minds transformed, we're going to become a place that's safe for strangers to come off the street and feel acceptance and love and cleansing and life and joy. And that's what we're to be. That's the kingdom of God. And it first and foremost has to be in your life and then in our life collectively in order for us to influence the world for the King and the kingdom. The Lord wants to dwell with us. How would you react if you got a phone call tomorrow from the King of Kings asking if he could move into your home? I think there'd be a lot of shock. What rooms would you want to clean? Probably every room. You know, even that closet that occasionally you open and all the stuff comes out. Well, if we let God into our houses, our personal lives, God's Spirit will do the cleaning. He will do it. He will clean you. You don't have to clean yourself up. If you're anything like me, I'm just, when I try to clean, I just make more of a mess. I really do. Yeah, I should say that. He's followed up after me, and my wife could certainly amen to that if she was here. But if we allow God in, He actually does stuff that we can't do. He cleans us in a way that we can't do ourselves. He renews our mind. That's why we're reading the Word. I can't tell you how He does it, but He does it. And He transforms you. It changes your thinking. It's like eating. You know, you need physical food. If you don't eat, you know, you begin, eventually it takes a toll on you. You know, you become irritable first, and then you become weak and listless, and you know, it affects you. It affects, you know, I know when my blood sugar is down, I'm really irritable. And spiritually, the same thing is true. We all need spiritual food. And when the Spirit is in us, He cleans up house. Okay, second request. I'm going to get through some time. To know and share the love of God, which is revealed in Messiah Yeshua. That's his second request in this prayer. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Messiah, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. To know and share the love of God. That's his second prayer. Praying that we might know. That word know in verse 19 is to experience and embrace. In fact, it's the same word, it's a Greek word though, in the Old Testament, it's the same word that Adam and Eve, when they joined together as husband and wife in sexual union, that word is to know. It's to know in the most intimate way. And God wants us to know in the most intimate way Him. And that comes through the filling of God's Spirit. And when we know that, I mean, he becomes your best friend. The joy of your life. And He's always with you. And He's always gracious. And He's always kind. And Paul prays that we might know that kind of love. Paul is praying for a practical impossibility, that we would understand something that we're not able to understand. And we're only able to understand it by the Spirit of God. Like going outside on a dark night and looking up into the sky above and realizing that God's love for us is bigger and more infinite than that. Have you ever done that? Totally. And as awesome as that is, it pales in comparison to God's love. And that's what His prayer is for us. And when you know that kind of love, then you can give that kind of love to others. Through God's Word and His Spirit, we begin to comprehend our sinfulness. We also learn how much He loves us, knowing us better than we know ourselves. When you understand how sinful you are, I mean, I never thought I was sinful when I first accepted Jesus. I thought I was a pretty good guy. My wife knew right away. My parents knew, but I didn't know. But as I became closer to the Lord, I understood my sinfulness. And when I understood my sinfulness, and that He loved me in spite of it, and continues to love me, Well, that melts my heart and blesses me. And that allows me to love others. You know, that's part of the Lord's Prayer. You know, forgive our debts as we've had our debts forgiven by you, Lord. When we realize how much He's forgiven us, we're able to forgive others. And so as we learn how much He loves us, knowing us better than we know ourselves, and that only comes when we begin to comprehend His love for us. We don't deserve His love, but He loves us anyway. That's Paul's prayer for us. Not just to understand His love, but to experience, to embrace it. And then response, surrender. I love you so much, and I know what's best for you. And so give it up, will you? Do my will. My will's better. My will's designed perfectly for you. You know, we pay for designer clothing. People pay big bucks to get custom-fitted suits. And, you know, they outgrow them, you know. At least I do, pretty quickly. But God knows us. He knows the hairs on our head. For guys like me, that's a daily recount. Hourly recount. So God knows us. And when you know how much He loves you, then you can let go and you surrender. Loving God with all of our heart, it fulfills Deuteronomy 6:5. Loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. When we comprehend what God did in Yeshua on Passover 2,000 years ago, it's the love of God that motivates us to yield our lives to Him. It's only by His Holy Spirit that we can comprehend God's love. Do you see how it all fits together and why this prayer is so important? Because it's through the Spirit of God we can understand these things. The third part of Paul's prayer, in verse 19, Paul prays that we might be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Paul is praying that we will be overwhelmed by the presence of God, so that there's nothing left of ourselves. That He might increase and we would decrease. That was John's instruction to his disciples. He must increase. John the Baptizer, the mercy. He must increase, I must decrease. And that needs to be our prayer. He needs to be seen in me. I need to not be seen. The more Yeshua is seen in me, the more people see God rather than me. So that there's nothing left of ourselves. Jim Elliot wrote, we can grab Jim Elliot, who lost his life when he was killed by the Aucan Indians in South America, said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He who loses his life will find it. But he who keeps his life will lose it." Most of that tribe later came to faith through the ministry of those who survived and Jim's family. And giving his life, that whole tribe came to faith. He loved them. And that's what we're called to do. Losing our lives for others. And that's the new halacha. That's the new law. That's the new covenant. Paul's fourth request. "And now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we think or we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Messiah Yeshua to all generations, forever and ever." So that includes us. And boy, has God answered that prayer. Because that's the prayer of Messiah. The purpose of this prayer is to draw attention to the one behind the veil, who makes the kind of life we cannot live on our own possible. We can go behind the veil through the Spirit of God. We can enter into the Holy of Holies, and the one who's beyond the Holy of Holies can enter into us. And that will transform us and the world. When we live a life that we cannot live on our own, the world will begin to see Him who is able. That God is able to be a very present help in time of struggle. And we all go through struggles. To do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think. We and the world will see God do incredible things when that prayer is our prayer. And when we yield ourselves to Him. No matter the challenge, God can make lemonade out of lemons. Healing our hurts. I know a number of you. Got a lot of lemons on your hands right now. But when you put it before the Lord and come to Him, He adds His Spirit, which puts sugar and all kinds of good stuff in it to make it sweet. takes some time, but he does it. And many of us who are here even now can bear witness to that. What we will see in the world will see, exceedingly and abundantly beyond. Three straight superlatives. Beyond all that we ask or think, more than our minds can imagine. If your mind is anything like mine, you can imagine some things. And he'll do beyond that. How will we respond? Will I let the God of Israel, through his Messiah, rule my life? Will I be the person rooted and established in the love of God which is found in Yeshua? Again, through the Spirit. And the Spirit works in me through the Word of God and by spiritually breathing. So what is spiritually breathing? Getting rid of the bad air, the carbon dioxide. And what is the bad air? Our sin. Confessing it, Spirit of God, through the Word of God, shows us our sin. As we confess this sin, that gets rid of the sin. And then breathing in the Spirit of God, being refilled with the Spirit of God. And that's what transforms us and the world around us. Will I be a person rooted and established in the love of God, which is found in Yeshua? Will I make His will my will? Will I see God-sized possibilities? We will, if we surrender our lives to the Lord. God wants to use this humble little gathering to make it an incredible testimony and reflection of Jesus, of the great Messiah of Israel, to the nations, to this city, and from this city to the rest of the world. Yes, he can do that. He wants to do that if we will be yielded to his Spirit. The choice is ours. Will we embrace and pray this simple prayer of Paul's? There's a faith that can bring salvation, atonement, and eternal life, but then there's a faith that can change the world. And that faith comes by the filling of God's Spirit, through the power of having our minds transformed through the Word of God. Do you want just a saving faith, or do you want a transforming faith? A supernatural faith. Narrow is the road that leads to life, and few there are who find it. There are plenty of people in the church today. But God is looking for people completely yielded to the Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit of God, so that we can be shock absorbers, sin bearers, like the Lord. That's his will for us. And to do that is great joy. Jesus, we're told in Scripture, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And what is the cross for us? Dying. Laying down our lives. Surrendering our will to the will of the Lord. So that the world can be saved. God can do that through you, one soul at a time. But you need to be yielded to the Spirit of God. If you seek, you will find. Let's pray. Father and God, we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you for your transforming power.